Kultursalon, Kulturnisalon. Carola Sakotniks Sendung zu Kreativität, Leadership und Kultur. Herzlich willkommen. Dobar dan. Und in jedem Kultursalon werden 4 Fragen gestellt. Was bedeutet Mut? Was bedeutet Zuversicht? Wie entsteht Vertrauen? Und welche Rolle spielt Zuhören? Es geht jetzt los. And today we're going to speak in English, yes.
Music Will, the Green Opera. So today I'm saying hello to 2 colleagues of mine I'm working with on a project, a European project. It's called Music Will, the Green Opera. And those 2 colleagues are Sara Renar and Vasco Atanasovsky. Vasco, it's a project I'd like to ask Vasco to describe, because Vasco was the one who invented it. He ideated it, and then he found Sara, and much later I joined the whole project. And what to say, I'm curious how it will develop. I'm really looking forward to the performances. And well, more later. Vasco, please describe this project.
So now Music Will, the Green European Opera, as you said, is a project that it's very interesting, I think, because it's a cooperation between 3 countries, Austria, Slovenia and Croatia, and creative people from these countries that we are already started to create this really interesting team. I think it's a very refreshing experience also for me to create in such a way. So the project is founded by a Creative Europe program, and it's about creating an opera, as in description in the title. But we see this opera like a really new approach connected to the nature and the environment, to the cultural heritage maybe also, and bringing very different artists and creative people together to work on this and to create some kind of interdisciplinary opera in the modern sense, let's say so. And my idea started actually quite a few years ago. I think the COVID is because of COVID, how to say, because in these moments that we were like having more time and staying at home, and so I started to build up an idea how to connect actually music, because I'm a musician. That was my starting point, was actually music. So how to connect music to the like rural areas. I did a smaller project before this, who was doing the research on this field. So how to connect local community, what are the options there, with the local tourism. So here, instantly, this idea of connecting art to the local tourism, local crafts, local traditions, I mean, everything started to melt together. And then later, when we connect, as you said, first with the Croatian friends, together we developed this idea actually to not stay only for musicians, let's say, but we widened it to the all fields of art, you know, like, so now the project will have a open call for artists of different kinds, like architects, designers, dancers, painters, singers, of course, and you know, so yeah, and shortly, I think this is the, I hope I described a little bit.
Very nice, thank you. Yeah, I think there's a nice picture in there, and I like this. That's what fascinates me also, that it's like bringing art to places and to people who usually don't have so easy access to it. Sarah, what is attractive for you with this project?
Well, first of all, I have to say that this is going to be the first time that I am participating in a project, this type of project, as a co-creator, co-mentor, and more of a behind the scenes than a artist called as a participant or in residence, right? And so I had quite a lot of experience on the other side up till now. And so for me, it's very exciting to, when you step back on the organizational side of things, what is the best way to create this framework for this kind of network in which other artists and the local community can create something new and exciting together. So I'm super excited to see who will apply and what will come out of the whole thing.
Yeah, I think that will be the most interesting thing, you know, the open call, how it will be received, how we really will get the people together. Yeah. I know it will happen, but yeah. So what I would like you next is to give us just a short introduction, who you are, like what is your background, where do you come from, and what are you doing artistically? And Sarah, I would like you to start.
Okay. So in the last few years, I kind of introduced myself as a recording and performing artist from Croatia. I'm also a singer-songwriter and, actually a composer of electronic music. And I also do some conceptual multimedia art. I started out as an architect, and that's my formal education. I left my job 2015 and never looked back, the desk job. And since then, actually, I'm full-time in music. I recorded 5 albums up to date and done various projects concerning multimedia, arts, the relationship between sound design, arts community, nature, and cultural heritage.
Ti ćeš ostati živ, mrtvi su mrtvi, al ti ćeš ostati živ. Mrtvi su mrtvi, al ti ćeš ostati živ. Ti ćeš ostati živ i svjedočiti. Kažu da je ljudski griješiti. Je li onda ljudski prvo mislit na sebe? Kažu zlo se ne može spriječiti. Je li onda zločin prvo mislit na sebe?
Vasco, how is your background? I mean, who are you? Not only the background, who are you is the big question.
Yeah, so I'm born in Slovenia as a Vasco Tanasovski. It's a really typical Macedonian name. I was born in, I still remember the ex-country Yugoslavia. That was my childhood. And that lived a lot of influence, like in music and culture generally, on me, and connected me to the Balkans like forever. I started to play violin when I was 5 years old. My parents were ballet dancers, so somehow I was born into art Besides writing poetry and painting, music soon became my main thing through all the schools, and very soon also became my profession, like a freelancing musician and composer. And so all my life is somehow was always connected to music, and my main tendency was always to create my own music. So I was not just only like a music player of in other bands, but the main wheel inside me was like to create something new, something fresh in music. So on this road I met very different musical styles. So I worked almost on every field, like from the classical with orchestra, theater music, film, and jazz, rock, if you want. So I think if you ask me who I am, it's like, I'm generally a musician who is like focused on very different styles and on different kinds of creation, and on this like freelancing road, somehow I had to become also my own manager. And there was a moment when I was thinking, like, what would I do if I was not a musician, like, and it was like I think the second choice was to be a manager. Like, so it's for me, it seems like different kind of creative way to produce, to create something. So how to manage from all sides, how to put things together financially, produce like production and with the people. And so it's it's also a field that I think it's very important to me beside the music, of course.
Very nice. Very, very nice. So what I hear is like you're also a good producer in the film sense, no? Putting the ideas together and then having artists doing the thing, but you also create a framework around that and organize it. It's very actually.
Yeah, this is the idea that I like, yeah, to mm-hmm. be kind of director, and then you're putting things together and to see potential in other people and bring it out. Things like this, I think it's very, very good. And actually, I learned all this through music and music was always a group work, you know, so it was like in the bands. And like, I don't know, now we have in Music Willow, somehow we also have a band, you know? So it's on a different level.
And it's time for some music.
just introduce myself. So we have our threesome here. And it's very interesting because I also started as a musician. I started playing music at five. I started dancing at five, and I started music at eight. And I was just dedicated to become a jazz pianist, and this is what I wanted to do. And then somehow my teacher left, and I got another teacher who told me then classical music is the only thing. I thought it was very boring, but I followed. So in the end, I went after finishing my school, which I also did with wonderful grades. So everyone thought, oh, she must become a doctor. I decided to become an actress, and I studied physical comedy and theater creation, which was interesting for me because it combined this principle of music's working together. And as a pianist, you don't always work together, but I always miss that. You know, I can be a good solo. Yeah. Can be a good soloist and still love to work together. And it took me some time to discover all that. And then I was a performing artist here in Graz, first in Switzerland, and become very seriously ill just on the way where I was really start doing a very steep career. And I became so ill that I had to stop working on stage, like from one day to the other when I was 35. And of course, first that causes a bit because you need to get healthy, and I still have it, an autoimmune disease, which was then very strong now after my COVID infection again. But in the end, it's quite quiet, and I'm lucky with it, but it always influences my life quite a bit because as soon as I overdo it for too long, I feel it. So I went back to university and studied, did an MBA. And had the same experience as you, Vasco. I like to be a manager too, but I cannot do it without creating. So creativity and all this podcast, what it is about, is definitely my message to the world, that it needs a lot of creativity. It needs the ability to think in frameworks, to think in networks, and to think in connections. And thinking and doing this complexity cannot happen only here. It also has to happen here. And it has to happen with the whole body. If not, our reasoning does not really work. And I think there is actually one profession who knows that best, and those are artists. And you can use it for artwork. You can also use it for creating innovation. And this is the business side of it. And this is where I work now. I just was an artistic director of 7 years for a big cruise ship company, like actually two big cruise ship companies. And I was composing the program. The program, you know, on a cruise ship is crucial in the sense of every cruise ship is beautiful. The world is just beautiful to visit. You always have good food and you usually have good beds. But the program on board is their living environment. If you're like stuck, you're not stuck on a cruise ship, but if you do that in the evening, the cruise ship just goes, it sails. So you have to live there. And if you like that, if this inspires you, you come back. So this is what I did. And I was fascinated by that, and just also thought, oh, luxury, is that really the only thing? And then I went back to the Red Nose Clowning, which I had co-founded as a clown. Well, I was one of the first clowns with them in Austria, and created a project where it's also about bringing arts to vulnerable groups. And that's this project is still exists. It's called Emergency Smile, and it works in different countries. It works in refugee camps all over the world. And it's there I learned actually something, which is how art can connect people. And if you take art out of the big houses, I would say, and go to where it is created, go to where the people grow up who become the artists then, and go out into nature and still bring all the art knowledge with you, something really big happens. And that's on one hand the outcome, because the artwork is usually good, but on the other hand, it's this impact you have on people. And that's what I realized actually in the refugee camps, that people who have lost everything, but who had the courage to go and say, I don't want to live this miserable life. I want to do something for myself, for my family, for my kids. I want to go for innovation. I want to create something new, and I dare to go for the unknown.
to see the light.
Four questions, and the courage I mentioned already. I personally think we need to be boldly human, so we need to discover our humanity again, and we need to be boldly applying it, so using our empathy, using our ambivalence, our vulnerability, our humor, our ability to love. But of course, courage and boldness is more to that. So I would like to ask you, and starting with Sarah in this case, what do you think is courage and what does it serve for?
Well, I think courage is mostly standing up for what you think is right and being brave enough, knowing that there could be some consequences that are not necessarily or not at all pleasant, but you know something is the right thing to do, and then you are doing it no matter what. And I think that's one aspect. Another would be the courage to try in creating, to try something new, not to do what is maybe expected of you, or to push your own boundaries, to explore. It takes quite a lot of courage for that. It also, I think, in personal relationships, there has to be a form of courage here, in a sense that without, I think is the same actually as with performing. You have to have the courage to be super vulnerable on stage, and that's the only way that that's the only way you can actually gain strength. Because if you're holding something behind it, the audience can always feel that. But the moment that you let yourself go and you are super vulnerable, then you are most powerful, and it actually takes a lot of courage to do that. And I think the same could be said for personal relationships, friendships, and I mean, even maybe, you know, working with, working on projects as well, in the sense that you really, you really have to be open and give yourself, and that and have courage to do that. And then that's the only way that you could you grow, and only by giving something that you get the reward back. I don't know if that.
Vasco, what is courage for you? What does it serve for?
Yeah, in a sense that Sarah's already told, I agree. So. Somehow, I don't know, to put it, it's courage is to live what you are. I mean, to discover what you are. If you're just living to eat and sleep and do what the world like puts you in your plate, then nothing much will come out of you, of your life, I guess. So you have to have the courage to show, I mean, first to find the light that is inside of you, and then to put it out for other people.
Very nice. I think it's so nice when you said, find the light that's within you and put it out for other people. I think it's a wonderful description. You're a poet.
It's still nice. Early in the morning for me.
So. No, I mean it. It's really beautiful. And then I have the second thing, because I think what it does then, what you both describe, I mean, for me, courage is something to go for the unknown, you know, to go for the unknown, and of course, go with your truth. Also to make it short, but I've explained it so many times, so I just, now I have two sentences. It was not always the case. What I think helps being courageous and being bold is also this thing called confidence. Confidence on yourself, confidence in a good outcome whatsoever. So let's now start with Vasco. What is confidence for you?
I mean, it's maybe a tool to escape this depression and to accept and hug the world and other people and to make a first step on your road, you know. And without confidence, it's hard to do all this. I mean, I think it's impossible to walk the road of life. It's important, and I think it's also a thing of community to hold this confidence between us and to help individual if somebody sometimes lose this track of confidence.
Super. It's very nice for each other. We need to hold the confidence for each other so we can go on. Wow. Sarah, what is confidence for you?
Basically the same thing. I think we would be paralyzed without it. It's a funny thing with this sort of confidence that once I found this in the dynamics working together with the band as well. I mean, bands are usually, I mean, I have to say here that I worked in an office in life, and I worked also, and I'm working with various artistic forms, mostly my band. And there's always a kind of hierarchy, but in bands, it's much more horizontal than your pyramidal, typical corporate setting. And apropos of confidence, it's really interesting. And this works in families as well. It's like, when somebody is down, then another person kind of naturally emerges up as more confident and gives a helping hand. And I found this throughout life that it always works this way. You know, if somebody's having a bad period or is doubting something, then kind of almost spontaneously the other person emerges and, you know, with confidence, with a lot of enthusiasm and energy. And I found this pattern that occurred in many, many situations, which is really, really nice. It's kind of almost as if we're wired this way. You know, when somebody's down, you kind of, whoever at that point has more energy just goes, you know, it's okay, we can do that.
And I think this is also something we want to offer now to the people who are going to work with us. That's what I feel in our talks. We never spoke so clearly about that. But for me also, confidence is something that is like believing unconditionally, but not naive, in a positive outcome, and doing to create and hold the field for that, so it can work in our favor, I would say. And then it leads to trust. Now that all supports, because if you have a confident, trustful environment, courage is much easier.
Of course.
And I think we need to prepare a field for courage, because we need courageous people. We need new things, you know, we need new approaches, and not the ones where we kick the others in the face, but where we fight for our advantage, but where we create something that's good for each other. And is supporting and nurturing us as well. You know, it's not about boring, like boring, always in balance, harmony. That's not it. That's not interesting. So trust. Sarah, what is trust for you?
Trust for me would be Well, in a practical sense, trusting the acknowledging and trusting the other person which I'm working with, that he or she will do their best and be their most wonderful creative self, and that I can relax, and that whatever we are doing will work out really for the best. I think that's maybe, you know, kind of the process of letting go control and knowing that you are sharing something beautiful.
So great, because one thing is, you know, in this podcast about the curious leader, that's exactly what curious leaders do, or what new work and new leadership is about. So this is a way of working together that is very similar to music bands. And I even have a training where I teach them to work together like a jazz band. And they really make music. They're not musicians, and we just make music. We create a song together with very simple instruments, usually in 2 days. So because you need, you know, in music, you need some skills. And it's lovely because music is so typical human. You know, it's a thing we humans do. And we sometimes believe, oh, no, I cannot sing. You know, some teachers told us, you cannot sing. You cannot keep the rhythm. You cannot do that, which is just not true. And, And, of course, you're not a concert singer maybe in 2 days. That does not work. But you can create music.
The process is what counts. Yeah.
Exactly. And this working together and accepting that if you do something, a little thing, and another one does also a little thing, and we have a lot of little things, and we listen how they work together, all of a sudden one big thing emerges. It literally emerges, and that's beautiful. Vasco, what is trust for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very important, especially in the moment that the world is today, that we have a lot of situations that the trust is crushed and destroyed between people, and it's a lot of bad situations. But on the other hand, there's also, I believe, there's still also, thankfully, a lot of good situations, and like I believe music wheel is one of the thing. And the trust is like if we start in art, like art or music, there is like a total trust, because I think you in music there is nothing can be hidden. So the relationships are like totally true, and it's, of course, is the trust. So I find this as a good example and the starting point where you can pick up the true knowledge about what trust is, and then you can apply this to other processes and relationships that we are going through, and in other fields like of work and creation. Communication.
Do you think, and then it's a yes and no question, and please, in this case, be a politician, don't say yes or no. Do you think that creativity needs all these things, like confidence, trust, courage, and listening? And if you think that, just explain us, how do you think it correlates to that? Start whoever wants. I know you need to process.
I can start. Yes, of course. I mean, these are all the processes that are like totally basic, I would say, for any kind of this, especially group communication and group creativity. And I mean, but also with yourself, you have to be courageous, and you have to have the confidence, you have to trust yourself first to like that you can do something again first for yourself and then maybe also for somebody else. And what maybe is to add you know, is that you, when you have all this, then also it's, I think, important to give your energy to everything, you know, just that the energy that has the certain direction. It's what you want to do. I mean, what you want to what is your final saying, or how to say?
Thank you. Love it, Sarah.
Yes, I think it's absolutely crucial for all the for all the reasons that we just explained. So, absolutely. I would also add that in most art forms, there. How to put this? In most art forms, it's at least in my experience, a much more kind of horizontal, intuitive, emotional decision making than, of course, in your classical work setting or business setting. And I think not even that we don't necessarily even verbalize these things, but it kind of comes with the logic of what we are doing. That said, which is probably why you asked us to this, invited us to your podcast, is that there is also no complete democracy in arts in this way, and that somebody is, or a group, or one person is always somebody who does take leadership and holds most of the responsibility. However, that type of leadership, of course, does not work if it's a dictatorship. So.
Yeah, and it's that I think that comes so close to this new leadership thing, because new leadership works a lot with specialists, experts, and that's what we do too. That we just have people who are experts in their field, so they need this leadership that guides them, that kind of defines the road, but leaves open how you walk this road. If you want to run, if you want to build a different road or something, you know, and you agree on something, what is to be done in the end, because there's also the purpose of the project or of the product to be created, whatever it is. And I think it's so similar. And and I like this art approach if it works well. And I think by my biggest dream, sometimes it's true what you're saying. I just like to work in these with these teams who have this horizontal decision making, and especially in IT, there is a lot about that in every producing company, and especially when they deal with innovation, they have it a lot. Where it still has not arrived, and that's for me very strange, is in big cultural organizations. It's very hierarchical to my opinion, and it's very. But it's somehow ego-driven, you know. I'm in charge now, I'm in power now, so I'm imposing my vision. And leadership does something else. Leadership dares to have a vision, yes, and also wanting to go for it. And then, or you look the ones who like your vision and come with you and do that, or you are even convincing others of your vision. Without forcing them, but you're activating them, you're motivating, you're wanting them to follow. And this is very nice, because we all know together bigger things can be created. And I think also the art world has a lot to learn on this way, because the independent workings are doing it on one hand, and on the other hand struggling a lot with always too little means. So you are under pressure because you need to survive, then it's very difficult, and so on. So yeah, as our open call is close, what would you say as a thing to convince people from your country, why should they apply for joining us in Musicville, Moscow?
Yeah, I think it's a good opportunity for a very, very new and innovative project approach. So opening a very new field, I think, for the artists of different kinds to come and work together on idea that they are building the idea from the beginning, from their inspiration, and as I said, with kind of leadership. It's also like educational project in this way, to have this different kind of experience in working together, in how to deliver your creativity, how to where to put your art actually. So as I said, not so egocentrically like this is my art and so on, but maybe you can apply this your talent in working in a project like this, working with other people, and I don't know. Putting your music, for example, in the different situation that it's not maybe necessarily on the stage, and I think this can open much things for the group, for everyone. I mean, also for the one who is leading the project, the one who is participating. I mean, it's a lot of processes going here on, and like beautiful processes that we have to follow. Like, as you said, it's not like this is my idea, let's go, but it's also approach that I always had also working with bands. Like, okay, I bring my score, this is the composition, but I don't tell you how to play it. I mean, give me the best what you can, you know. I mean, in this sense, you know, and then it's again okay, listening to each other and putting our best things together, you know, and see what we can do the best together, you know. I think that's the wonderful experience that can be.
Nice. And Sarah?
Well, I would invite my artist colleagues or even scientists interested in arts, because we have a big environmental approach here as well. That musical is a great opportunity to explore, to learn, to play, get to know more about the place, the country that you are living in, and also your very close neighbors, and to find out maybe even from another angle, find out what are some environmental, cultural, historical aspects of our culture that are unique, and what is actually shared by all of us. I think it's also a good opportunity to get to know one very classical art form, and also deconstruct it. I think it's a great opportunity to work with new media and, of course, explore other artistic universes, and also and this, I'm saying this as an artist that was working on many residences before, as this residency will combine a very practical hands-on approach on location, but also a work in a digital environment. I think this is, because of the time that we are living in, also a great opportunity to gain experience in this sort of working or creative environment and infrastructure. So I think all of this, and combined with what Vasco just said, I hope this will convince at least some people to apply. Yeah.
Well, I'm very confident it will, actually. And the question is just more how do we communicate it, like with this spirit? Because for me, sometimes it's difficult to believe that this spirit comes across anyways. A lot of people tell me it does, I'm sometimes always a bit doubting that. But when I hear you, I'm just saying, how can you even doubt? What you say is so good and it's so inviting.
I'm not doubting.
Good. No, but I mean, it's so inspiring, you know, just this talk here. We're doing it for a podcast and it's a very deep talk and I like that. And for me, it's really something where I say, someone who is an artist, who is on the way to be a professional artist, is and wants to experience for a longer period, because it's like a year we will be working together, a little bit more than 1 year, and we will do it online and live in residences. The performance, of course, will be live. And this all bringing your art, bringing your knowledge, bringing your skills. And together we will be creating a field where excellence can emerge. Like you said, you know, giving your best, and I mean it, the best. I think, you know, sometimes when you create this field of trust, confidence, listening, courage, something can emerge that would not emerge otherwise. And I'm very curious in the experiment that we dedicate, we create a human environment. And we have a knowing people, so wise people or knowledgeable people. And we work together using the talent of each individual. And this by really listening and being curious, being interested. I think this has the feeling of being able to be something really big, you know, really big that has an impact on others as well, like when we communicate afterwards. And I'm sometimes it gives me goosebumps, you know, when I think of that, that there's a real big potential that is there. And so I also truly do hope, do come and apply. And we want to work with you. So, yeah. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for a talk that was so interesting that I'm just wondering, where will I put music between our exchange?
make it a double session.
I think that's a good thing. Yeah, I really want to do that, because I think the music of each of us is very important in this thing. It's so interesting because I sing a lot and I work more with words than composing, and I like that. You know, the words are so important to me. That's something where I create my images. It's my colors. It's my paintings, and it's my music. But the music I also sing. So, thank you, Sara Renar. Thank you, Vasco Atanasovsky.
Thank you, Carol.
And we just say goodbye for the Kultursalon, Kulturni Salon, and see you next time.
Kultursalon, Kulturni Salon, Carola Sakotnik Sendung zu Kreativität, Leadership und Kultur. Jeden vierten Dienstag im Monat auf Radio Agora und jeden vierten Mittwoch auf allen Podcast-Plattformen als Podcast. Ich freue mich auf ein Wiederhören beim nächsten Mal. Deine Carola Sakotnik.